The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Signing day where there really isn't a lot of national signing day news, but there is a lot happening in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. Pete Thamel covering it for ESPN. Pete, thanks for the time. Before we get too deep into it, just give us a lay of the land. It seems like more players are bowing out for illness or injury. What is going on down there?
It's been an interesting Senior Bowl so far, Paul. I'd be disingenuous if I said, this had the star power of years when you've been here with some, you know, Justin Herberts and Josh Allens and guys like that. The quarterback class is pretty pedestrian. There are a lot of very good players here, and a lot of them are on the, you know, offensive defensive lines, which are important to building NFL franchises and may not be the best for clicks and ratings. So it's been good. It's a good event. Jim Nagy does a great job. And, you know, it's the same gathering of all the different, economic factors of football. There's agents. There's a lot of college coaches have come through. There's obviously the players who are part of the biggest economic engine. So, yeah, it's the – you know, the Senior Bowl in a lot of ways is a ceremonial gathering to many as much as it is, a showcase and getting ready for the game on Saturday.
I know there's usually most of the big dogs from the coaching world and come and go. Have they been there yet? There's usually that picture of Belichick and Saban and all of them hanging out. Has that happened yet?
So I have not seen Nick yet. I'd be a pretty bad reporter if I was here and he snuck in under my nose. But yeah, usually he does a media availability, and maybe with two coordinator positions, he has decided not to go, or he's going to come tomorrow for the practices. But he has not made his sort of ceremonial swing through. Hugh Freeze was here yesterday. He ducked in. There was a big luncheon in Macon, I believe. So a lot of the SEC coaches. Oh, okay. Went to the luncheon in Macon and then followed each other over on the private jets to the FBOs around Mobile to roll through here. So Eli Drinkwitz was here yesterday. Shane Beamer was here yesterday. Mike Norvell made an appearance today. A few less college coaches today, signing day, even though nobody's signing. So so it's been it still has the gravitas, and they're still obviously commands the attention of the highest end NFL front office types, and there's always some college coaches hustling around for that Twitter picture.
Absolutely. Pete, I realize you're covering the people who are there, but if I could ask you about somebody who isn't there, and I don't know why he's not, so I'll let you explain, because he's in Dallas getting ready for the draft. He ends up getting arrested. Why is Stetson Bennett not down there?
So my understanding, Paul, is that Stetson Bennett turned down an invitation to play in the Senior Bowl. And, he's going to end up being a fascinating draft case. If I had to make a prediction today, Paul, Stetson Bennett does not get drafted. And I might have said that before his arrest because of his size and his age. And he just doesn't fit the archetypes and paradigms that the NFL sort of holds true to draft upon. Now, look, obviously he was a resplendent player, and he was productive. He was clutch. He was a relentless winner. I would say, just generally speaking, talking to scouts about Stetson going into the end of this year, I even quoted one saying, I don't think he's going to get drafted. I wouldn't draft him. There were modest concerns about his off-field behavior. If you're going to be drafted to be a backup in the NFL, you need to be a teacher's pet. You need to have your nose in the book, and you need to have your nose clean. And Stetson Bennett reputationally didn't fall on those lines at Georgia. And that doesn't make him a bad person. He's a regular college kid. But that doesn't fit the archetype for what the NFL, the Chase Daniels of the world, who are super productive and can, hold the clipboard and be ready to play at any time. So, I don't think anyone's ever under the impression Stetson Bennett would be an NFL starter. But he'll get a chance, and somebody may take a flyer on him. He's obviously was a productive guy. But as of right now, I think the incident in Dallas the other night amplified concerns that that team's had. And feel free to use that last soundbite in the 30 for 30 when he wins the Super Bowl and everybody does.
We will. We have a yes. Just to make it clear, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, but since you're here, I'll ask. The concerns about him, behavioral, whatever, that was before the event in Dallas the other night, correct?
Correct. Okay. Yes.
So,
yes.
We just want to make sure we get you as deep into this seven-part Stetson Bennett.
You do a great job of asking follow-up questions to just plume a little deeper.
I have to make sure that the guy doing the Twitter account is listening.
Yes.
And that I understand
is,
he was.
That is fair enough. Now, I want to be – I wish Stetson Bennett the best. He was a joy to cover.
Sure.
He's an interesting guy. He kind of – you know, there was a bluntness about him, actually, that was refreshing. So this is certainly – the one thing you learn, and I've obviously covered the draft and written a lot about guys on the draft over the years, like, it's an emotionless process, Paul. Like, these guys are like analysts recommending stocks for your portfolio. You know, it's buy or sell. And when you cut out the emotion of Stetson Bennett and look at it through the raw paradigm that the NFL looks at it through, there are some glaring issues that are going to be difficult for him to overcome to get drafted.
Just to hit the quota of asking you about Nick Saban's coordinator positions, and I realize you're covering the Senior Bowl, but I'm sure there are no shortage of rumors down there. Are you picking up anything before you see the man, perhaps as early as tomorrow, or is the rumor mill quiet on what's happening with Nick Saban and his two positions right now?
You're probably the 37th person to ask me that today, just, you know, standing around. There's a lot of standing around and chatting at the Senior Bowl. I'm sure you've covered it a bunch over the years,
sure.
Paul, so you do understand that. And you know, look, I would have said 2 days ago that you know, Ryan Grubb flying from Washington to Tuscaloosa to interview for the job would have made him a favorite. But you know, his decision, it seems, to stay at Washington, where he's making $2 million, and he's got Michael Penix, who's better than any quarterback Alabama has, and you know, is in a situation where he could probably be primed for a job in that, you know, West Coast corridor. In that part of the world where he's from, that decision made a lot of sense. So, you know, I think I said this on your show last time. Jeff Lebby's name is still a name that has been bandied about, you know, pretty loudly there. You know, there's some chatter in NFL circles. Does Greg Roman go down from the Ravens? That style of run game would certainly be appealing to Nick, but it's. Nick, I give him credit for this. He's been consistently deliberate about these jobs and tends to like to talk to people and pick their brains and learn. And he's sort of always used these jobs as a way to just, you know, a schematic stimulator for him, I guess, to just think about different ways of doing things. And he seems to be in the throes of that.
I know it's a busy day. We won't keep you, but Pete's always good to ask you about Nick Saban's coordinator positions, and we'll keep asking you as long as they are not filled. Be well. Enjoy Mobile. Thanks so much for joining us, Pete Thamel from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. We will continue with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back here on a Wednesday night, Larry is up next.
Hey, what's up, Bomb Bomb?
Larry.
Oh, when you knew it.
What's up, Larry?
Hey, man, let me tell you, I want to put a disclaimer out there on these guys, man. Y'all take that Viagra, listen to me. You better have your girlfriend lined up, because if you take it and you don't, you better hit the drugstore for being gay and baby oil, because you in for a long night. Anyway, I'm going to get to the fact. Saban is not going to pay players, and I congratulate him. That's for the sponsors, the NIL. And he had a player that wanted $800,000, and to put his girlfriend through Alabama, University of Alabama College Law School. Can you believe that?
I really can't. I can't imagine any kid asking for that for his girlfriend.
Yeah, but he ended up in Miami, guess what? Yeah. I saw the Miami recruiter on my phone on a podcast, looked just like JK. Looked just like his phony ass.
So you can't imagine Saban having to deal with a player on NIL. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. But he didn't even go NIL. He went straight to Saban. He didn't go NIL.
Larry, let's calm down here for a second. We don't really know what happened, do we?
I do, because Saban said it. Saban's like God. When he says something, he parts the seas, brother. It's happening.
Okay.
And just like the high school coach at Carl Saban. Hey, man, you pay my boy $500,000? Hell no. He ain't going to pay nobody to come to the University of Alabama, brother. Before you snap it down, you get your ass out there and you work. If you earn some money, go. Maybe they give you some NIL money. That's what's happening now. Everybody thinks they're supposed to come out of high school and be gods to the coaches.
Larry, are you suggesting that with one of the greatest recruiting classes in college football history, Nick Saban got every one of these players without – NIL being discussed?
If it was through sponsors.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Through the proper channels, right?
Right. Correcto.
Right. Okay.
But these ones I'm talking about wasn't proper channels.
You're right.
You
okay. Well, Larry, there you go. Larry, what can I say? I tell you who I'm going to ask for an opinion on that, and that's I-Man.
Well, I tell you, if you just to follow up on Larry's conversation, and, you know, of course, Nick Saban wouldn't do anything, you know, that treacherous. That's far beneath him. And, you know, but the rumor on the streets in the city of Montgomery talk about two players. It might be a little bit of a different story. But then again, Nick Saban wouldn't come on and talk about lawyer and school and all that. I mean, he wouldn't come on national TV and tell that bald-faced lie, would he?
Based on what Larry says, he would not. No.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. I don't believe that story. I think Nick Saban is as full of lies as there is. Paul, I mean, ever since Alabama lost both them coordinators, every day you've had a guest on, at least one, if not two. Are you working for the human resources at University of Alabama or public relations or something? Because you are trying like hell to find them guys, you know, fill them spots.
I'm trying to help. Auburn, I mean, Nick Saban asked for some help, so we are providing.
And on the public airwaves here, you're all over Nick Saban. But when Auburn was looking for a coach, you really didn't have too many opinions. I mean, you was wanting them to hire Shorty Price and people like that. You know, Guy Hunt.
We had Jason Campbell on one day who was talking about Cadillac. We had Roy Johnson on who was talking about Cadillac. I think we had a lot of people on. I mean.
Yeah, but
you might have been in somebody's attic,
the people
checking their heating system,
you know,
at the same time. You may not have heard that.
You was talking about, well, you know, is, you know, Cadillac and the job he's done, and you know, maybe they're hopefuls.
you wasn't throwing out names. I mean, you probably got damn laundry list of names all across the country. And you know, that Washington coach, he turned Nick Saban down for a couple of reasons. First off, the money. And you know what? This day and time, currently as we speak, every school out there has the same recruiting avenues that Nick Saban has had for the last 10 years. You know, everybody's playing even now. They don't need Alabama. Alabama is not the end-all, be-all that it used to be. And we've seen that in the basketball team, the football team, the last couple of years. And I will – let me say this. I do want to congratulate the University of Alabama basketball team for finding their shooters. No pun intended. Have a good day.
Legend is next.
Man, falling lead and I, man. Number three in the batting order. I like it. Larry got a bunt single and I, man, fouled out. Let's see if I can do something here. The number one recruit class, Fall. That's pretty impressive, ain't it, brother? That's pretty impressive.
I, man, wasn't impressed with it. He didn't seem like that was a big deal.
Well, when you've been a fan of Auburn as long as he has and suffered as many humiliating seasons as he's had, you have a warped perspective of college football. Well, you're at the bottom of the mountain. Now he's looking up. Man, it's hard. I know. I'm an Oreo fan. I know what it's like to be at the bottom of the mountain looking up, talking about all them great teams at the top. But watch my Orioles this year, Paul. We might have some, brother. We might have some. Might actually enjoy baseball this year. But number one left tackle, number one strong safety, number one running back. But, yeah, I'm going to tell you, Paul, what really impressed me about this class, it looks like Nick Saban finally went back in them trenches and started getting them players like Marcel Darius and Evan Neal, them pro dirt divers, Paul Proctor, 6'8", 335, Jane Smith, 6'4", 315. That's what I'm talking about, baby. Let's get in them trenches. And let me tell you something, Paul. We would have paid them $800,000 if he'd have been a five-star. Hey, if Mr. Proctor, who I like to call Mr. Protector, if he would have said he wanted his girlfriend to be in law school, he would have been the Attorney General of the state of Alabama in 10 years, man. It depends who you are, Paul. Don't you agree? Don't you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I wanted Saban to be more specific, because I think he was just throwing out a red herring there.
Yeah, he was throwing out a player that transferred. I'm looking at the transferred players in the portal, and I don't see nobody worth $500,000 that left Alabama. I don't see nobody worth it. Who was number two in the recruiting class, Paul?
That was the Dogs.
Oh, number two, doo-doo. All right. Following Daddy again. Right behind Daddy again. Man, you better get your stuff together. Hey, Paul, did I hear you say that Michael Jackson came to Birmingham and walked around with the Jehovah Witnesses?
That is correct. That is correct.
Man, you know, Paul, you had to give it up for the Jehovah Witness. It takes a lot of courage to knock on a door. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it. That would take you're going into a strange neighborhood. You don't, and you're not like delivering milk. I mean, you're asking them to listen to your religious beliefs.
Yeah, it really takes a lot of courage, unless you're Stetson Bennett.
Oh, my.
Rim shot. Rim shot. Watch out, baby. The Sorcerer's Psycho about to get loose up in here.
And they won. And they were worried that the legend wasn't in prime form.
Nah, they better back up. We get close to that caller of the year championship again. And let me remind all you callers, I am the defending champ. Jim may say he's the greatest. Augie may say he's the greatest. But the last time I looked, the hardware is on my fingers. Yeah, Peyton Manning was the greatest. Yeah, my foot. Tom Brady's the one who got all the rings, baby. Don't talk to me about being great. Thank God he finally retired. Get on out of here, you old man. You tortured me as a Colts fan for years. I'm so glad out of here and don't ever come back as long as you live. Hey, Pa, I heard you ask what was the greatest concert you ever been to. I'm going to tell you the greatest concert I ever went to. First one I ever went to, 13 years old, 1977, Civic Center in Birmingham, AC/DC, and Alice Cooper.
Ooh.
Man, it was before Bon Scott passed away, matter of fact, and it was off the hook. Alice Cooper, he hung himself. He got ate by a spider. It was a crazy show. It was a great show.
So at the end of that show, school's out for Alice Cooper, huh?
Yeah, I think that was the school's out tour, matter of fact, right there, baby. I think that was the tour, school out tour. Before I get off, I want to apologize to Vanderbilt for that first-degree assault last night.
Ooh.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about, Dados and Alabama. That's the way to bounce back, baby. We stumbled at Oklahoma. We were an exhausted team, mentally, physically. But we showed the nation, baby. We back.
I mean, legend, the only reason, I mean, people said it was 57 points. It was almost 60 points.
Yeah, it should have been 60 points, but we put the bench players in. They throwed it around for about 5 or 6 minutes. But I'll tell you something. SEC basketball is not the best conference in the nation. I think we've seen that Saturday. But I think there's a couple teams, Tennessee, Alabama, and I think Arkansas is a dangerous team with Council and Debo Davis. There's some teams in the SEC that can make a big run. Love you, Paul. Stetson Bennett, I got a defense for you, for your lawyer. Just tell him you're a Jehovah's Witness, dude. Elvis has left the building.
Legend out. Oh, man. AJ is up next. AJ, go right ahead.
What's going on, my black hat brother? I hope all's well, my black hat brother. Because Alabama's a new Kentucky, Paul. They're the new Kentucky, Paul. They show up to Oklahoma and get beat by 24, and he's going to play Birmingham Southern the other night, and he's going to talk about a 57-point. Who was that, Paul? I asked you to chum up the waters, and I had to wait till you weren't doing it earlier on, and you finally got them chummed up, and you gave me some legend leftovers. I'm gonna be, you know, I'm hurting tonight, Paul.
Well, I wanted to give you. Sometimes it's easier to react than to be the first act.
You got to give me something real to eat on, because legend is a has been that never will be again.
Now, AJ, that's pretty serious.
He's a has-been and never – that's exactly right. He's a has-been and never will be again, because let me tell you something. My black hat, brother. You had Will Anderson, and you had Bryce Young, and you couldn't do a damn thing with them. And blame it on your OCs and DCs. Hey, who cares if you got the first class of MIT, baby? Because you ain't going to be able to do nothing with it. AJ has burnt down this building.
We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Final 30 minutes on this evening, and let's check in with JK up next. Hello, JK.
Hi, Bob. You all right?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I heard El Chapo, the president of the Black Hat, Black Cat Committee. You hear him on here tonight, Paul? He come back tonight because Alabama blew out a team that had 12 losses. Whoop-de-doo. Where's the confetti? Everybody celebrate Alabama beat a 12-loss team. So what? They got blew out by 24 eggs a few days ago, and you didn't hear from him. Hey, that's a typical Bama fan. You want to celebrate blowing out a peewee, but then you get whooped by an unranked team by 24 points. Hey, Paul, I just don't understand them, but, you know, life goes on, and we hear and learn more about them every time they call, and especially every time they lose. So, you know, it goes with the territory. But one thing I got to say about it, when this football season comes up this year, remember I told you, Paul, and I'm going to remind you and I'm going to remind all the callers and all the listeners, Alabama would not win the SEC West. Alabama would not go to the playoffs again. And what excuse will we hear this time next year? Will the Black Hat crew be demolished? Will Legend go into hiding again? Will he call in and piss Paul off and cuss Paul out and quit the show for a week and a half and call back and apologize? Or will it be the same old, call in and laugh at his own jokes when they're not funny every other day, same time every other day? It's going to be the same old. But you know what, Paul? I'm going to enjoy these next 6 or 7 months of Alabama not going to the playoffs and not winning the SEC West with the number two recruiting class, and they're still talking about their favorite to win it this season coming up? No, brother. Don't believe the hype. I don't believe the hype. I never will. They're going to have to show me. The dynasty is over. I keep telling y'all, and I told you when they first started the NIL deal, when the playing field gets level, Nick Saban is going to start panicking, and that's what he's doing now. He got to get a new OC, a new DC. He better get a QB if he want to compete, because they don't have one, baby. And, Paul, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you go. The Miami Hurricane will be back. You're going to laugh. All y'all going to laugh. Just like the Alabama fans said they were going to win the championship and didn't win it. I can be wrong, and they can be wrong. You have a good day, Paul.
Thank you very much. Let's check in with Eddie in Tuscaloosa. Eddie, how are you?
Paul, do you realize the crew I got to follow?
Yeah, I mean, that is a classic murderer's row.
Because I had a little sanity of this.
Now, you followed Gehrig, Ruth. I mean, you can't get any better than that.
The other day when you had Wilbur and John Mitchell on.
Oh, yeah.
Both of those are good friends. And Wilbur, well, you won't run to find a guy in Wilbur. But I got to tell you a little something, personal story with Wilbur.
Sure.
I almost apologize after these calls I'm going to have to follow. But anyway, Wilbur obviously was a great player here at Alabama. And after he played in the pros and a couple of years later, he moved back into his hometown down in South Alabama. And I really don't remember where it was, Ozark,
yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, I go down with the alumni to speak at the town that Wilbur was in. Wilbur was at the meeting, and we rehashed and talked and hugged and all, chest bumped and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a real pleasure to see him. But at the end of the talk, they had questions and answers. One guy in the alumni group asked me if I would name the top 10 players I had ever seen. And I said, well, yeah, I'll be glad to. And I looked at Wilbur and I said, Wilbur, you ain't on the list. And everybody kind of laughed. And I realized I was kind of on a roll. I said, although Wilbur, you were in the top 100. Everybody laughed again. And I'm really humming along here. I said, Wilbur, I had you at 96. And they'd laugh again. But then Wilbur looked at me and said, Eddie, I'm glad to hear that. But Coach Brown had me at 98.
That's great.
And I'm left there with nothing to say. And I think I said any more questions.
That is funny. And by the way, Eddie, I've seen your act. When you're on a roll, you better get out of the way.
I got on a roll there with Will, but he put quietus on me, I guarantee you.
That is
but
a great
I tell
line.
You what, Paul, he was a tremendous football, both of those guys. John Mitchell, by the way, got married in Utah, Alabama. And Alabama, this was when he was in Arkansas and Holtz was a coach. My wife and I went to the, I don't know whether it was a pre-wedding group or after the wedding group, but anyway, John was there, and we were talking, and of course, a lot of people were there from Arkansas. Well, a man came up and asked me for my autograph, and I said, look, you don't really want my autograph. But he kept coming back, so I finally said, who do you think I am? Now, Paul, as you can imagine, I get mistaken a lot of times for Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. But he said he thought I was Lou Holtz.
Yeah, I was good. You looked like Lou.
Well, a lot of people say I look like Brad Pitt, but you know, I don't know.
That's me. That's me.
But anyway, I signed the thing for him. And I signed it LEWHOLTS. But anyway,
you know, by the way, I did. You may have heard me say this in August. I did an event in Birmingham with Lou, and he is funny. You know that.
Oh yeah, very much so. And did a great coaching job too.
No, he was fan. Well,
but anyway, those are great. Two guys that really brought back a lot of memories. Now both of them were great ball players, but you won't find too fine a gentleman in those two.
No,
and I know it was a pleasure for you to have them on.
No, thank you very much. I want to thank Ricky Davis for helping arrange that yesterday. It was just fantastic getting together with Wilbur and John. Squirrel is up next.
Did you just call KJ Babe Ruth? Compare him to Babe Ruth.
Well, it was being nice, yes.
And who's that other clown, BJ, that called in before him?
AJ.
AJ. It's so funny hearing both of them, you know, cut down legend who combined both of them, and they may have the talent of a pimple on legend's butt, I don't know, as far as entertainment for a caller. But legend missed his calling. He should be a comedian. I mean, literally, he has talent, I think, as a one-liner, you know, as a stand-up comedian.
He's very funny.
He's funny. He tried to make it as a sports handicapper or something of that nature, and that went through the hayside. You know, yesterday he was talking about, you know, he lost on a parlay, and he's going to Danny Sheridan's home or something in a few weeks, I think, or a month or so.
Yeah.
If there's any aspect of his life I might be jealous of, it would be hanging out with Danny Sheridan for a weekend. That would be something that'd be a lot of fun. But I think Danny would tell Legend, I think maybe lesson number one is that parlays are considered sucker bets, aren't they?
Yeah, and by the way, I have hung out with Danny Sheridan, and you are correct.
Well, I know you've hung out with everybody.
Well, but I've known Danny. I did a story on Danny many years ago, so I had to hang out with him. And He is one of the all-time colorful characters, yes.
He's always been one of my favorites. Even before he started, you know, coming on your show years ago, I followed him for a long time in the Mobile newspaper and things of that nature. But now, like I said, he could easily make it on the comedy tour, I believe. And it's funny hearing these other guys with probably zero talent come after him. But, hey, thank you for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you very much. We're up against a break. We still have a few minutes remaining on a Wednesday night, and we are back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.